is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Aaron Rabel keeping us on the air along with Barry and myself. And we're now very pleased to welcome in a gentleman who's joined us in the past, a gentleman that you see every single morning on Get Up and is a fixture and one of the main pieces in the cog that is ESPN every day on the channel. And Mike Greenberg joins us right now. Mike, we appreciate you spending some time with us with everything going on. And as you say every morning when you get on the air, we say to you, we appreciate you, because with everything with the pandemic and the first responders and everybody dealing with everything, we appreciate you guys keeping us entertained in the levity every morning.
Well, that's nice of you to say thank you. But you know, we're just doing our jobs. You know, what the medical professionals and the first responders in this country are doing, and I guess all over the world, you know, every now and again you are reminded that there are just freaking heroes among us, you know. And, you know, all I'm doing is going to work and talking about football. But what those men and women are doing is genuinely heroic. So I appreciate the very kind thought, but our show is for them every single day. And, look, you guys are doing the same thing. We need this diversion. I'm sitting here looking at television ratings for last night's draft that are just off the charts. And we at ESPN, we had huge numbers for the WNBA draft last week as well. We love sports in this country, and we miss them. And so it was just a delight to have that last night.
Yeah. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Mike. I was curious to get your thoughts. What did you think of the first ever fully 100% virtual draft where nobody met? How did you think it went overall?
You know, all the draft really is team selecting players. So I thought it went great. I thought every team selected. They got 32 guys got picked last night. That's exactly what it was the year before and what it is the next year. Obviously, there's an energy about it since they've been moving it around that wasn't quite there last night. But at the end, we had a bunch of really smart people on there giving really good analysis. The teams picked the players. There was plenty to pick apart. A lot of picks to like, a lot of picks to question. It was just the NFL draft, and it was great. So I thought it was terrific.
Speaking of that, Mike, we always like to get the national perspective on the local team. We know that Bill O'Brien went from our dirty little secret in Houston, Texas, to the whipping boy of everybody across the NFL. But your thoughts on what's going on with obviously the latest being the Tunsil signing, the D-Hop trade, and Bill O'Brien being Bill O'Brien?
Well, listen, I mean, I guess I would turn the question around and ask, is there a local defense of him, or generally is the local opinion as bad as the national opinion is? And look, I've met Bill. He came up and hosted a show with Mike and me once years ago when I was hosting Mike and Mike. I enjoyed it very much. I bear no ill will, but to trade away DeAndre Hopkins for what they got for him was disgraceful. I don't even know how else to put it. It's almost a breach of fiduciary responsibility. For my money, that guy's the best receiver in the whole sport. And to trade him for a second-round pick, when you look at what Buffalo gave up to get Stephon Diggs, who was not even in his area code of D-Hop, you know, if he wanted more money, then figure out a way to make that work. Give him a little more money and figure out a way to make it happen. But you can't trade away a guy that good at that age who has that kind of dynamic with the young quarterback there. I mean, I thought that was just a terrible move. I mean, bordering on indefensible. I think the best thing the Texans have done, or this is about to make a terrible joke, but maybe the best moment of their year was blowing a 24-0 lead in a playoff game, because it's only been downhill since then, and that's a joke, but not necessarily one. Is there a different perspective locally? Because that's pretty much what everyone I know thinks around the country.
Not on this show, there isn't. There might be on the flagship station. We're ESPN Radio, but we're not a Houston Texans affiliate, so we can be honest. But I think the consensus around the city is that this isn't going well, and that's putting it nicely.
Well, Mike, look, Barry gave up the Texans until Bill O'Brien is relieved of his duties. He adopted the Chiefs, and he is a Houstonian, so that should tell you that it's across the city.
Here's the thing, and I have two things. One, I love Deshaun Watson. I don't like him. I love him. He's been in my studio. I've spent a little time around him. I assume you guys have been around him as well. I mean, to me, to be around him is just a root for, and you know his backstory and everything else. I root for him like crazy. And I also have a little bit of a vested interest in it because I was yelling and screaming for the Jets to take him, and they passed on him like so many other teams did. The Jets that year had the sixth pick in the draft, and they took Jamal Adams, who's a really good player, but he is he's no Deshaun Watson. So I love Deshaun. And I will say that, look, O'Brien, I had a stat the other day. I'm sure you guys know it off the, right off the top of your head. But the short list of coaches who have won four division titles in the last 5 years, if I'm getting this right, is Belichick, Reed, and Bill O'Brien. Now, I know it's a bad division, but still, he's done some winning. So there is stuff there to defend. But the personnel piece of it seems to be a disaster. And in a division where the Jaguars are tanking, the Colts, I think, have the quarterback situation all wrong. And the Titans may have caught lightning in a bottle late last year, but they just barely snuck into the playoffs. You know, it feels like there's a move to be made there for the Texans. So for them to take what feels like a huge step backwards by trading away their best player, I don't get it at all.
Yeah, believe me, you have the same perspective as everybody in Houston, Texas. So with that, we'll switch gears a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about your career because you started and were in Chicago. We talked about it when I hosted you during Super Bowl week for a private party in which we actually brought someone to your attention that you actually ended up saving their life because of a TV call-in show when you were early in Chicago. But from that to where you are now and the way that you have, your career has gone, could you ever have imagined the run that you had with Mike and Mike and then, you know, at a certain point almost, you know, when we talk about your thoughts, and I agree with you on Michael Jordan and the Bulls and this whole docuseries that's going on, but at a certain point, did you see that, hey, we've had all the success we're going to have, and now I envision more for myself, and now Get Up comes along, and it's taken off too.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. You know, sometimes in life, you know, when you get to be about my age, having a fresh start and just starting something new is invigorating and exciting. And that was really the only way I looked at it. I covered those Bulls teams, as you just mentioned, and now the whole world is sort of seeing with Last Dance sort of the insane acrimony that was going on inside, and you're going to see much more of it in the episodes this weekend. And I was around that stuff, so I knew most of those stories, and it was crazy. There was nothing like that going on in my life at all. You know, sometimes in life, it just a change comes along, and it seems like the right thing. As far as whether or not I would have ever imagined when I was 24 years old and I was chasing Michael Jordan around with a microphone, would I have ever imagined that I would someday have a show with my name in the title and then now I'd be doing, you know, the mornings on ESPN? No, certainly not. I'm one of the most fortunate people I know. I this is all I ever really wanted to do. I was just a kid who loved sports and I wasn't ever going to be good enough to play. And so I tried to figure out the way I could be as close to it as I could ever possibly get. And this was the path that I figured out. And it's been incredible. I don't know anyone who has had a career that they've loved more than I do in any industry. I know lots of people who are more successful than I am, who've made far more money than I've made and all the rest of that. But I don't know anyone who loves their job as much as I do. And that's a real blessing. I tell my kids that all the time. If you spend so much of your life working, there's nothing better than loving it. And I've loved it. So, you know, I'm as lucky a person, certainly professionally and beyond that, as anybody I know.
Well, Mike, you mentioned it because you said you didn't play sports and you weren't athletic. And, you know, a lot of us in this business didn't play professional sports or even collegiate sports for that matter. But at some point, if you're in this business and you have opinions, because that's our job to have them, you're going to rub athletes the wrong way. And inevitably, somebody tells, oh, what does that guy know? He didn't play. Have you ever had that? And how did you handle it?
Sure. I've had it a million times. I think all of us do. And I think that's true whether you've played or not. You're going to offer opinions and people are sensitive. And we live in a culture now where there's so much negativity that I certainly understand where the high-level athletes and the coaches, look, if I'm Bill O'Brien and I'm listening to your show and here are the three of us having this conversation, being as critical of him as we are, I can see that bothering. It would bother me. And so I don't have any issue with that. My job is to go on the air and offer my opinion on things. And I think so long as I'm fair and reasonable and informed, and don't take it to play, you know, there are certain places I would never go. It doesn't get personal. Then I'm doing my job. And if other people are offended by it or hurt by it or whatever it may be, I get it. That's part of it. And there are people in the industry who have been upset with me over the course of time. There are some people that won't come on with me because they're upset about things I've said. That's just part of the deal. So it doesn't bother me. I've never had anything happen that I thought was over the line or outrageous or terrible. You know, when your job is to offer your opinion on how other people do their jobs, sometimes they're not going to like it. And that just goes with the territory. So I'm perfectly comfortable with it. If Bill O'Brien is upset or anyone, I'm just using him as an example, because of this conversation, doesn't want to come on my show or whatever the case may be, I get it. If I were in issues, I would probably feel the same way.
Well, we pride ourselves as being as objective as possible. And also, we also say it's not just about sports. We like to have fun. Barry's a stand-up comedian in his spare time. And we talk about the fact that it doesn't have to always be about sports. I've noticed that it's almost like a general manager putting together the right roster. The roster you guys have at Get Up Now is a roster that people are drawn to, and it's not just for the X's and O's or the bottom line of sports. And even you yourself have implemented segments to make it more fun. I love the Ryan Clark aspect of it, and then with trying to decipher his tweets, even Hembo and trying to stump the guys. And it seems like you got the personnel right, too, because Dan Orlovsky was a backup quarterback for the Texans. But Dan Orlovsky is a starter on Get Up, and the guys you have great insight both sports-related and otherwise.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. Thank you. Yes, I'm so proud of our group. You know, we've tried to create that kind of a dynamic, and everyone has to be willing to play their role in something like that because they're not on all the time. You know, you guys have a two-person show. I was on a two-person show for 18 years, just the two of us, and so it was always one of us talking. And this, like, everyone's got to pick their spots and be ready to go. And, I mean, I could start rattling off names of the people who have just been fabulous with us. But, I mean, you, Orlovsky and Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark and Dominique Foxworth. And the list just goes on and on and on, who've done fabulous work. And Laura Rutledge and Maria Taylor and so many others. Everyone has bought in and willingly played a role to be a part of the team. And it's just been fabulous to watch it come together. And I've had a fabulous time. We've been doing the show for 2 years, and I love it. And I think we're just getting started. I think we are much better now than we were a year ago. And I think we're going to be much better a year from now than we are today. I know from personal experience that's the way this stuff works. And I have no intention of doing anything else. This is what I'm planning to do for the rest of my career. So I'm having a very good time, and I think we're just getting rolling.
Well, with that being said, we know we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we've talked a little bit about it to start. But kind of as a precursor to wrapping it up, when do we get back to sports? In your opinion, and with people you know and what you've seen, you know, how long is it, in your estimation, before we get back to playing sports, whether it is finishing up the NBA, getting baseball rolling, or being concerned about college and pro football?
Well, here's what I've said in regard to that. I think that it costs you no more to be optimistic than it does to be pessimistic. So I'm going to be the most optimistic I can possibly be. I'm also going to be realistic. I'm not going to lie to my audience. I'm not going to lie to anybody else. I think the idea that we will, at any point in the year 2020, have a stadium with 75,000 people in it, sitting, you know, right on top of each other, cheering at a football game, that feels unlikely to me. The idea that games will start being played relatively soon, I think is realistic. I think golf can start coming back. I know they're scheduled to come back, you know, beginning in the middle of June. That feels very realistic to me, and I'm looking forward to it like crazy. I know baseball and basketball and hockey are feverishly working on plans to try and figure out ways they can come back without compromising people's safety and health. I think the idea of having some of that back within the next, I'm just making it up here now, 4 to 8 weeks, that feels possible. It's by no means certain. But I think it feels possible. I think the idea that we will have football this fall, maybe without fans in the stands or maybe with significant limitations on fans, that feels very possible to me, and I'm very hopeful. College sports, I think, are a little more complicated. I have a daughter who's a college student. She's home taking her classes online right now. If she's not back in school in the fall, if her classes are still online in September, I think it's going to be very tough to convince anyone that it's reasonable to bring all the football players back to play if it's not safe for the regular students. So that one, I think, comes with some different questions. So I am really hopeful that we will have a really good calendar of sports that'll be different from what we're accustomed to, but that maybe we'll appreciate even more because we've missed it so much. And I'm hoping that we'll have it back something in the neighborhood of 6 weeks, 8 weeks from now, that we'll start seeing some signs of that. And, you know, obviously these are just guesses. I don't know it. But I hope that I'm right. And I look forward to it as much as anyone. You don't know anyone who misses sports more than I do.
Well, we do too, and we appreciate you and what you do and bridging the gap until we get it back again. So I know you're busy. Have a great weekend, and appreciate you spending some time with us. That's Mike Greenberg, ESPN on ESPN 97.5.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
There you go, Mike Greenberg. Good get there, and a good guest, as he's always very insightful when he's on the show. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got plenty more of the final hour of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
I go hard on Southside G. Yeah, wait. I make sure that Northside E. And still.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Like, I really actually do believe that we have it the best right now that humanity has ever had it. In the history of human beings, it's the best right now. Most education, right? Most freedom, most technology, pretty good. But yet some people, you'll hear them complain and act like they would rather live in the past. My dad's one of these people. My dad actually thinks he would be happier in the Wild West than he would be today. He goes on these weird tirades where he convinces himself. He's like, no, I'm serious. Go ahead. You can make fun of me. Go ahead, Danny. Make fun of me. If I could push a button, hell yes, I'd go back. I've thought about it. Late 1800s. Montana. Wyoming. Right? You just give me 40 acres, God's country, gun, and a good woman. That's all I'd need if I could. Well, if I could, I'd force you to go back to school until you stop saying shit like that. A lot of ignorance just came out of your mouth. I get the fantasy. He'd be happy if he'd been born back then. Right? It'd be nice if he didn't know any better. Probably be great in a lot of ways. But you wouldn't be happy going back, because we've grown accustomed to things getting better that we don't even think about. We take for granted. Like in his example, there were no good women in the 1800s. By today's incredible woman standards. For a lot of reasons, starting with showers. Showers had not been invented yet. Not one 19th century woman had taken a single hot shower with a loofah and decent antibacterial soap in her entire filthy, disgusting life, and that's a nightmare. So gross. Right? Different grooming standards. We take Brazilian waxes for granted now. Back then, they didn't even have disposable razors. Put that together with the previous thing I said. Is that a jungle you really want to explore? No, you're not that brave, Cortez.
Dan Cummins, Comedian of the Week, on FEF Friday. F for funny. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory, but a funny dude, Barry.
Yeah, really funny. I'm glad Aaron reminded me of him. You know, there's so many comics out there you tend to forget, but the fact that he was going to be here, even better, and a way to tie it into Houston. So good stuff.
Speaking of Houston, by the way, if you're looking for something to do this weekend and you want some action, maybe play some poker and do it for a charity and a good cause, it's Saturday, April the 18th, tomorrow, 2 p.m. ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap are putting on the third Houston Online Poker Charity Classic. The first and second tournaments combined to raise almost $5,000, and so they're doing it again. Tournament's going to be $50 with an optional $10 donation. It's going to go to two charities, Kids Meals, which delivers food to children in the Houston area and Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont. For more information and to register, head to the editor's picks on sportsmap.com, or you can just email promotion@galmedia.com. And a special shout out to our girl Courtney in promotions, as well as Jerry Bowen and Fred Fowler. They got this whole thing together. They got the ball rolling, and it has picked up steam. And the fact that they've gotten the kind of response and the donations and money that they've donated to charity is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is a really cool thing. I'm very proud to be on the same team as those guys, because they have put a lot of effort and energy into it, and it has been far exceeding as far as expectations go. So great stuff from them.
Now, we were talking to Greeny before the break, and obviously he was in the middle of all that bull stuff, being in Chicago and getting his start there and covering the Bulls. Now, Barry, it turns out that this might not be the last documentary about a great one like Michael Jordan. News has leaked out that Kobe's final year with the Lakers was documented about the same way. Now, the results weren't the same at the end in the playoffs, but we should all expect in the future that a similar documentary is going to come out on the final year of Kobe Bryant. Your thoughts?
Good.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, there are some players that are worthy of documentaries like that, and he's one of them, you know? There are some players you that may be worthy that maybe people wouldn't be interested in seeing, but I don't think he's one of them. I think people want to see it, especially given the circumstances around his tragic right. and untimely death. So, yeah, I think that would be great.
Well, and I think that in comparing him, and he compared himself a lot to Michael Jordan, and he said, you know, 100% he tried to emulate Michael, and he was more specifically talking about on the court with the fadeaways and the post-ups and the different things that he did. But we've done this in the past. We used to do it when I worked for a team where we would pull up audio of Kobe Bryant at a press conference and Michael Jordan, and they sounded the same. And the mannerisms were the same. And the mouth movements were the same. And the walk was the same. And it's like Kobe really, really, really used Michael as that goal to be in life. And for in a lot of ways, especially with the competitive fire, the success he had, he did it. But I'm interested to see, because everybody, including Michael, was worried about how critical people were going to be of how competitive Michael was. If Kobe, if they have video, and I would assume that they do the same way, because I had heard when Kobe was hurt, and I want to say this was when Rudy was coaching the Lakers, that he wouldn't even travel with the team, but he would have the equipment manager at the time put his phone in the middle of the locker room, and then he would call out different guys for different things that he noticed from watching games on television.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, that's a different kind of competitiveness in my mind.
That is. That's not obsessive, but I don't know what the word is I'm looking for.
It kind of is, though, right?
Yeah, but it's more of over the top almost.
Yep.
Like, okay, we get it. You're passionate. But it's over the top. By the way, I'm sitting here thinking about how what to me in my mind, you know, you think about a Kobe documentary and all the things you might see and what you probably won't see, you know, everything, but you get to see a lot. And one of the things that it made me remember that we didn't discuss from the Bulls, from the Last Dance documentary on Jordan and the Bulls, was Charles Oakley being with the Bulls and then getting traded. And the way he was treating Scottie Pippen at one point in the documentary, the way he had him by the shirt and then slapped him in the face.
Yes!
We didn't discuss that. And let me tell you, if I'm Scottie Pippen, I know you're a rookie and I know it's Charles Oakley. But when you do something like that to a grown man.
I agree.
It goes beyond just rookie hazing. And I think it was Charles Oakley's just beyond bullying even. It was just taking his manhood.
And I just totally agree.
Wow. If I'm Scottie Pippen, at some point in the future when I'm no longer a rookie and you're on another team, be ready for some cheap shots because I owe you, jerk. Like, that was amazing to me. I was just floored by that.
There's like a man law, the unwritten rule. Even if you know you're going to get your ass kicked, someone does that to you and you don't stand up for yourself, the the fallout's going to be even worse because now everybody's going to do that to you. And it's kind of like, and I don't know if the documentary is going to cover it or not, but when they, the infamous practice fight in which Jordan and Steve Kerr got into it, I mean, and punches were thrown, Steve Kerr had to, because otherwise he was going to be punked the rest of his career. The funny thing to me is with the Oakley, because I'm with you, I saw that and I was like, whoa. I mean, there's rookie hazing and all kind, you know, having to bring every veteran, you know, breakfast at their hotel rooms or take their bags to and from, all those kind of things. But physical contact like that, I'd be like, no, that's not just drawing the line. That's going right through the line. But if you remember back, I think Charles Oakley thought he was physically invincible. Back then they had like a bench press contest in the off season, and he and Kevin Willis benched like nearly 500 pounds. And like Kevin Willis, we always said we called him T-Rex because his arms were only like a foot and a half long. But Charles Oakley was a beast physically in terms of his strength. But you, that doesn't mean that you're okay to bully a guy like that.
Mm-mm. No, that just seemed crazy to me. I couldn't believe it. But well, I guess that's basketball. That's sports. That's team. I guess I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, it was totally crazy. All right. With that being said, half hour to go in the show, and we come back. So we'll put 30 minutes on the clock. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You get it all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday in the big city. That's F Yeah Friday in the big city. As we've had a good week and a lot of fun, Mike Greenberg was really good today, which was great. A lot of good insight from him, the ESPN perspective and his perspective of doing what he's done and is doing. I did want to throw this at you, Mr. Laminack. The fact that
throw away.
We talked about how people are passing the time, and from time to time in this hour of the show, we do get a little bit more, shall we say, dicey.
Uh-huh.
YouPorn. I don't know if you're familiar with YouPorn, one word.
Never heard of it.
I believe it's, obviously as the name states, YouTube and pornography. They've introduced the Wheel of Foreplay to boost to boost intimacy during the pandemic.
I like it.
People said that because the pandemic may have put a slight damper on their sex lives, the whole thing of not knowing when it's going to end, if you're, you know, you're going to be depressed, if you're laid off, furloughed, whatever. So you may need a little bit of help. Well, partnering up with the future of Sex Lab, the adult entertainment site hopes the online intimacy game will help couples who are currently isolating together, as well as those who aren't able to physically see each other, have a little fun in the process. Before you even enter Wheel of Foreplay, both people need to read and agree to the terms of consent. Once that's done, it's time for you to choose from a virtual deck, I said deck, Barry, of categories. Some like it hot, push it real good, cosmic connection, going the distance, and I touch myself, and then spin the wheel.
Where is this at? Just for, you know, for research purposes.
YouPorn.
Yeah. No, I'm saying once I get to YouPorn, where is this at?
I believe it's titled Wheel of Foreplay.
That doesn't come up on the, I'm sorry, that's a poor choice of words. I don't see it on the homepage.
Okay. Well, then we'll have to get to that in a second.
We should play you and I.
Wheelofforeplay.com if you just Google it.
Oh, well. So it's not on the YouPorn website. It's on the
YouPorn is behind it.
Oh, gotcha.
In more ways than one, possibly.
Let's Let's play. Here, let's see.
It says, each deck offers a different way to connect with your partner. I'm not looking to connect with you, partner. The Cosmic Connection deck introduces mindful exploration. The Some Like It Hot deck feeds sensual connection. The Push It Real Good promotes physical action, etc., etc.
Hmm.
To play the game, you need to choose a category that appeals to both of you and complete the intimate challenges that are then presented to you once you spin the wheel.
All right, so I chose the Push It Real Good category.
I bet you did.
Mm-hmm. Press to spin. Let's see what we got, Joel. Oh, okay. Wow, that's...
Whew. Oh, gee, I don't, all right.
Ooh, I'm blushing. It says mutual self-pleasure is a great way to learn about your partner's body. Do so next to each other and enjoy your partner's pleasure sounds.
God love the pandemic, people.
That's
we're not
all right.
Even doing it virtual. No Zoom chat needed here. Mm-mm, not happening.
Oh. Oh, no. Here's the best so far.
Oh,
all right. Now, this is on Push It Real Good. Uh-huh. I spun the wheel, video call each other while, not 68-ing.
Oh, my.
So you're going to do that? You're going to do the yin-yang symbol, and you're going to video chat each other at the same time?
Come on, bro.
You'd be in trouble because you'd be like, I'm having technical problems right now.
Hey, man. Hey, even if we were together as long as Mike and Mike, we ain't doing all that. And I'm sure they haven't either, thank God.
No, I'm thinking in general. You'd be like, wait a minute, I'm not involving a video chat.
I know what you were saying.
Yeah, there's, oh, God, don't make me vomit here.
So
groom
it says,
and shave each other till you're silky smooth all over, then bleep, then F.
It says if you're into the Push It Real Good, you're into things like putting ice cubes in your mouth before going down on your partner to have or having sex in a window.
Okay, that so far, this is all coming up on the same one. Just adventurous. That's not.
Oh well, and then Cosmic Connection is boring. It offers more spiritual, mindful options that promote intimate brain health. I don't think you're trying to get your brain healthy during a pandemic while on this site.
I got rough, and it just says, say something unexpected in your partner's ear.
Well, that happens every day.
I don't know if that qualifies as rough, unless you're like, you know, you're like getting intimate, and they say something unexpected in your partner's ear, and you lean in and you go, those jeans make you look fat. Then it would get rough, but otherwise, I don't, that's not rough.
Basically, what they're saying is, we have radio porn every day because every day that we're on the air, you unexpectedly say something
mean.
My ear, yeah, and there you go. So we've officially had radio porn.
Wow, I don't like the way that sounds at all. Yeah, I didn't like that. Let's move on to going the distance. Okay. Now it says remote dating and couples. There, spin the wheel. I get games. Both of you decide on a time and a day. Then log on to YouPorn and enjoy some porn knowing your partner is doing the same thing at the same time. Well, now that just sounds like an ad. That doesn't sound like a challenge.
Yeah, there's nothing that's going to like link that up was... anybody or anything else. That's just, yeah, exactly. Please use our site.
Yeah, okay. That one didn't go as planned. Here's a show me. Your date's remote anyway. Who says you can't just get ready together, set up your phone or laptop camera, and have a shower over a video call together? That doesn't, because then the lens is fogging up and you can't see anything, and then, you know, the moisture causes your laptop to keyboard to short out, and then it's just a nightmare. I'm not doing all that. No thanks.
I'd be interested in if they've seen a spike in their
no kidding
based on all of this.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would just sit there and spin the whole time. Be like, no, no, bleep it. Let's just bleep.
You going to buy a vowel or solve the puzzle?
Yeah, it's not. I didn't like half of those that popped up. I just kept going. I didn't read them because they were okay. I do like the video chat while doing the yin-yang sign, we'll just say. Because I don't know if I can actually – can I use the numbers on radio, Aaron? Because it's considered a position. Yeah. you can say missionary, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
But like if I wanted to describe the way canines would do it. Yeah, I couldn't say that on air, can I?
Again, that would be up to your program director.
Oh,
willing to.
So it's
field,
a go. It's a go, yeah, Barry. Let
I
it
can
fly.
Definitely
yep.
say that.
Yep.
I mean, the FCC's not going to fine me if I say it, right?
They shouldn't. No.
Oh, well, shouldn't.
The most they would do like for your first complaint for saying it is be like, "Hey, just keep it clean during school hours."
Oh, gotcha. They would send me a sternly worded letter, probably.
Well, they'd send it
so
to
if AJ.
AJ
had a brother named Byron, could we use his initials?
You can say the initials easily, yeah.
Okay.
Initials right. are always fine.
Right. So you,
but
you
the
can
actual
say,
term, you can't.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't say anything.
A job that involves job. Blowing leaves. You can't
or,
say
yeah,
that.
Or shaking somebody's hand.
Oh, okay. So you can't describe
so
the
you,
work.
You can say initials, but you can't give the number between 67 and
you probably
I mean, 68
could.
And 70?
You probably could, but I wouldn't put the ing on the end of it to make it a verb.
Oh.
Well, that's okay.
Easy. Very good. Yeah.
But that's
that.
Just me trying to play it safe.
Sure. But I do like that I could say HJ. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. We said that
but,
on the bus
but I
all the
still
time.
Feel like if I said the other one, you know, that would still be like more dirty. Like I would almost be like, ugh. You need to come up with a different word, but then you can't really use slang, I don't believe. So that might
well,
not be.
When I was living in San Antonio, the rock morning show there would call them mouth hugs.
I was going to say, I think I did say mouthy one time on the air, and that got through. So I think that's okay.
I also
did it. So
speaking of saying on the air, I've noticed that Granato, maybe it's because he's doing the shows at home, he's mm-hmm. gotten a lot more comfortable in using words that sound really, really close to the actual word you can't say, and using them so casually that I give Dell a lot of credit because I think they should. You drop them about at least five times a morning. It's not a boat convention, but he's used ship show a few times.
Oh yeah, well that's smart though. But that's just. But you got to be worried that you might accidentally.
Yeah. Believe you me, with you on the show, I worry about it daily.
I think last person to get dumped on this show was...
I don't think it was me. Well, a lot of people get dumped because Nick thought we said something, and then we find out after the fact that we didn't.
True.
So, all right, so there you go. There's your steady dose of porn in the third hour of the show with a porn mention. As we continue to roll, we've got one segment to go. We're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you all week taking us along for the ride, especially today on an FBI Friday. If you missed any portion of the show, including Dan Cummins, our Comedian of the Week, on an FBI Friday for funny. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. A menu will drop down. You can catch up on the hours you missed. show. So there you have that.
Was that me, Aaron, or was that him cutting out?
No, that was Joel cutting in and out a little bit.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't know if I was going to have to take over or not, but I'll know for future reference. But hey, we got one segment to go, so if we lose Joel, you know, whatever.
I'm here.
Well, you were not five. It was like that, kind of.
Oh, Okay. The human beatbox and I are going to wrap the show up before we turn it over to the Blitz. By the way, shortened show for the Blitz because of the draft again tonight. Only doing an hour today, Aaron?
Yep, we go into draft coverage starting at 5 o'clock Central.
5. Yeah. So Fred and AJ and Aaron will take you for an hour and then set you up for the second day of the NFL draft, which should be interesting with the Texans' first draft pick coming down the pike for that one. And then, Barry, we might as well plug tomorrow night, because tomorrow night you have asked me, and I am joining you on your live chat on YouTube. So we
can have some
fun with that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We're going to go probably do a little behind the scenes, you know, stuff that they've never seen. Talk about you, talk about, go more in depth in your background, and just shoot the breeze and have some fun. So say things you can't say on air, maybe, you know. Try to get you to say the C word. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I know.
That's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know. No, I get it. No, it's going to be cool. It'll be good times. So come hang out with us, Joel and I, and my YouTube and Facebook, at Barry's Funny.
Yep.
Yeah, good time.
There you go.
And I appreciate you doing
stumbled
it
on this.
In advance. Thank you.
Please. I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's easy. It's just we should have some fun with it, and hopefully a lot of the suspects chime in and take part in the whole packaging of the product, so to speak. You know, show them why you're suspects. Support us, and we'll have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this article on Men's Health, trying to clear up misconceptions on ordering takeout during the pandemic.
Huh?
So a lot of people said, is it true you can get coronavirus from the wrapping and packaging around food delivery items during the pandemic? And according to a doctor that from Muhlenberg College that is a professor of public health, to date, there's no evidence to suggest that COVID-19 can be spread by food or food wrappers. It is highly unlikely that a respiratory droplet from an infected person will make its way onto your food or your food wrappers as long as guidelines are followed in the prep process. So there's a big if, though.
Yeah,
so I thought I'd throw that one out.
You're relying on somebody else. Well, I do know they went through a whole big long thing. I don't remember who it was, Dr. Oz. I don't know. But somebody was showing you how to go through and wipe down your groceries. Like they had you set up a clean zone,
yep.
And then you do. So I haven't done that yet. I'll be honest. I'm not going through and wiping down my groceries, but I'm not begrudging anyone that does. That's for sure. I get the. I don't think you can be too safe or too cautious at this point. If it makes people feel better to wipe down their groceries, then I say do it.
Yeah, I mean, so there's another, because like what they said with pizza, and I think the pizza delivery people are smart that they're now showing you that, because heat obviously can kill the virus at 400 and some odd degrees whenever you're cooking a pizza. But the fact that when they take it out of the oven, put it in the box, they put a sticker over it, seal the box, and from that point, it assures you that no one has touched your food directly before it's delivered to your residence. That's a smart move, because that's always a concern. It doesn't matter how it's prepared, but when it gets from prepared to you and it's touched when put in the packaging or out or otherwise, that's where bad things can happen. So for instance, you know, they said that the temperature-sensitive foods the germs can be destroyed at 149 degrees for 3 minutes. So if you microwave them, there is a small chance too that you could eliminate that. But you don't want to microwave hot food when you've ordered it from takeout.
Mm-mm.
Because we know that the microwave can also alter the texture and the quality of the food.
Yeah.
But from a pizza perspective, it is one of the safest because it's been in the oven at over 450 degrees. For an extensive amount of time, as long as they assure you that it's not touched between oven and packaging.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a tidbit for you. And then the other thing the doctor says is you always want to ensure you are ordering your food from a restaurant that you trust. This is the Barry Laminack rule. To ensure that the food handlers are following the required safety guidelines. When those guidelines are followed, there is no increased risk to eating cold or warm foods if gotten from the right spot. But we saw that on Twitter the other day. Who, Lance McCullers Jr. ordered like Chipotle.
Yep.
And his burrito had been bitten a couple times. I was like, whoa, time out. I mean, that's one where you're not only picking up the phone, But you should put that out there. That was nasty.
That was gross. That was very gross.
What are the odds it was a Yankees or Dodgers fan delivering it?
Oh, maybe.
They saw that last name and they're like, oh, watch this, dude. Watch
right?
this.
It's on now. Oh, really? Yeah, that would be
Don't you think instead of biting his burrito, they might put something in it?
No, because that'll get you sent to prison.
Yeah, that's – yeah.
Unless you, if you're not caught, like in Barry's case.
Hey.
Play hockey with sorry.
No, that's not what happened.
I think you're outside the window. I don't think that they can arrest you anymore for that.
Okay, then that's what happened. Yeah. I totally played hockey with it on the ground, yeah. That happened. That was a real thing.
And they said the one thing to keep in mind more than anything else, is as well as ordering from a place that's reputable to you, is the riskiest part of any takeout or delivery at any time, but especially during the pandemic, person-to-person contact with the delivery person. Be sure you keep your 6 feet in distance when you pick up or you have your food delivered. Make sure that if the restaurants offer contactless pickup or delivery, you ask for it and make sure they follow through with it. They can leave it on the doorstep. You can do the tipping online or via phone with a credit card, and therefore, when you eliminate that amount of contact, you are doing a huge percentage right in terms of ordering takeout and getting the food you want while you're in the house.
Cool.
Yeah. So there was some little tidbits with the weekend coming, and people probably going to order some food over the course of it. So
be safe.
Yeah. Again. And I know that depending on where you live and in Harris County, that they're going to do the whole mask required for 30 days starting Monday. But if you can and you have masks, you know, at hand, use them.
Please.
You know what? Yeah, it's just, you know what? If you're not doing it for yourself, do it as a service to your fellow Houstonians, because of the fact that they've even said, if it's unless it's like the N95 masks or all those different masks, just wearing the cloth mask over your face, if nothing else that it does for you, it's preventing you from spreading it unknowingly to other people. So do your part and help your neighbor, help yourself, and then hopefully it continues to lower the curve on this thing and do what needs to be done, because it's nothing to be screwed around with. I know we want sports back, but before we get sports back, let's just get our lives back. That's the most important thing.
Yes.
Okay. Good talk. All right. So I was going to say, what
do you want me to? Yeah, I don't know. Am I supposed to add to that? I don't know.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just
letting you have your
there.
Platform, Joel. I don't always have to.
I don't need a platform, Barry. Come on. By the way, major cancellations this week. Does any of them affect you? And are you bothered? Running of the Bulls, canceled. National Spelling Bee, canceled.
No.
Oktoberfest in Germany, canceled.
No.
This one's going to hurt some people, Barry. Gathering of Juggalos.
Sorry, Trey.
2020 has been canceled.
I'm so sorry, Trey. I'm so sorry.
All those things canceled, and then to reward you, you get Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in a golf match for charity.
Oh, boy.
Boy, do we need regular sports back. Even me, the golfer, says that. All right, well, y'all have a great weekend. And,
you too, buddy.
We appreciate you. And I'll talk to you tomorrow night, Barry Laminat.
Yes, sir.
But for Barry, myself, and Aaron Raybould, you guys have a great night and a great weekend. The Blitz coming up next for an hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.